Hi guys, welcome to a new episode of our podcast. We're continuing with our chakra series. So we are now at the fourth chakra, which is Anahata, which is the heart chakra. So quite a bit of emotion, I guess, in this one, likely, given the location. And we're gonna keep the format. So we're gonna talk about what it means, how it's represented, what it means to be balanced, or unbalanced on it, and what are some ways to balance it, and I guess also just link it to the other chakras, right, Monica?
Yes, hi everyone. So Anahata, the chakra of love, is represented in yantras, in its physical graphical representations, in its visual representations, as having the color green, or and slash or being a lotus flower with 12 petals. And its seed mantra is Yam. So this is the sound that we can use when meditating upon Anahata chakra to balance it. So the name of this energy center would translate as the one who is unhurt, the one who has no boundaries, the undefeatable, they say, so or unstruck. So it is, of course, as we have already mentioned, Anahata is about love, and more specifically, the capacity to express love. But it is a very special kind of love. It is the love that is pure. And it is the love that derives out of altruism. So it is very far from the romanticized love of, as it's represented in Hollywood productions, for instance. And it's also far from the lustful, carnal love that Svadhisthana chakra represents. So when it's blocked, to put it simply, not blocked, but rather when energy lacks within the Anahata energy center, we have low immunity, we have heart issues, and we find ourselves lacking compassion. Anahata chakra is situated at heart level, but around the middle of it, so it's not towards the left or the right side of the body. Of course, all of them are aligned alongside our spine. So it is at the heart level, so it basically affects anything and everything that's at that level physically. So when we speak of Anahata, I would say we speak of a love that is huge, that is cosmic level, right? So and the love that has a will of its own. So yeah, the big kind of love. But also speaking of compassion, right? Because we say that we might find ourselves lacking compassion if we lack energy in this Anahata chakra. Anahata represents the type of love that is about offering to others, regardless of that might be, of what that might be. So it's also about being kind and prioritizing the needs of others as well, not only ours. And of course, it's about offering not only love itself to others, but compassion, understanding, kindness, and also lending them, you know, an ear when they want to be listened to, or not necessarily helped, but rather understood, I would say. So such is the love that Anahata represents, a noble type of love, I would say.
Yeah, and I think just maybe, maybe I'm jumping ahead, I don't know, but like thinking of the yoga kind of sessions specifically dedicated to the heart chakra, I feel like those, I mean, maybe this sounds a bit biased, at least from my experience, I feel like those are or have been quite effective for me personally. Maybe more effective than others, but that could be a number of factors. Of course, it could be the way I was feeling that day or that time. It could be, you know, the teacher, the flow, the poses they chose, things like that. But I did find it quite powerful quite a few times in terms of, let's say, yoga practice to balance this chakra out, maybe more so than others, as I said. And again, it could be just like, it might not be, well, it's definitely subjective, but yeah, I know there's quite a few poses, right? For instance, camel pose is definitely one that I think is always up there, I guess, in the asanas for kind of opening your heart chakra, I guess.
Yeah, Ushtrasana or camel pose is definitely one of those. So to activate it and to properly balance the energy flow within Anahata chakra, we use heart opening poses when it comes to yoga asana, of course, such as indeed Ushtrasana, Kamatkarasana, for sure you know it from the vinyasa flows, the wild thing pose. Anything that opens up your chest, really. Bhujangasana, which is cobra. Dhanurasana, which is the ball pose. Or Urdhva Dhanurasana, which is one of my favorite poses ever. That's bridge pose, full bridge pose. And it's one of my favorite asanas because you simply cannot sit in that pose for a few minutes and be miserable. You just cannot. Because you, not necessarily that you have a dumb smile upon your face or whatever, but if your body is set in that position, if it is put, if it is laid out, if it is able to sustain that position, then it simply arranges your energy levels from your entire body in such a way that not only you're not miserable, but you are content and joyous and simply more balanced, I guess. So it's a very deep stretch of the entire anterior side of your body from your toenails up until your fingertips, right? So it stretches out also the chest and the muscles here, and it opens up the heart and implicitly the heart chakra. So yeah, Urdhva Dhanurasana is great, and any pose that that open your heart chakra.
I find camel pose quite challenging because well, it's a big stretch, I would say, and I find it challenging to breathe in it. Which I think also, as with everything in yoga, as with the, you know, asanas and with the breathing techniques, also is probably a good pose to practice to start breathing in and will probably help with better breathing. and I guess it's maybe a sign. I don't know what happens when I'm, you know, when I try that pose and it just can't breathe. Maybe it's a stretch, I don't know, but probably something good to practice for better breathing. I don't know, like everything else in yoga, as I said, but yeah, I find that more challenging than others in this regard.
I think it's us ourselves who can say, this is a signal I need to practice more, or this is a signal that tells me that if I practice more, I will get hurt. So it's really up to us to decide. But normally where there's a blockage, it's simply a physical, you know, a physical impediment or a physical an anatomical impossibility that is not something that we can surpass, and then we should simply give up on that. But then there's a fine line between that and the fact that it's something that we can work on and we can, you know, improve it or make it better or smoother or more flexible. So yeah, we should be the judges of that. A lot of things are compressed, a lot of internal organs when we are in certain poses. So for some of us, that's, you know, that's not something that we can manage. For instance, if I think, not connected to Anahata specifically, but if you think of the supported shoulder stance, Shalambhasarvangasana, if you are a woman with very large breasts, or if you are a person who is seriously overweight, it's your body is not really, it's literally telling you that it's not something that you should be continuing to do, this Shalambhasarvangasana, this supported shoulder stand. Because, for instance, if you have large breasts and you are in this inversion, right, in the supported shoulder stand, your throat is really compressed and you have no room for the spine to extend and to lengthen, and your breasts are literally choking your face, and obviously you have difficulty breathing. So it depends. All of us have our physical limitations. Incidentally, in my case, Urdhvadhanurasana, which is bow pose, apart from it opening my Anahata chakra and my physical chest and heart and so on and so forth, it's something that balances me. So yeah, we each have a set of poses where we feel more comfortable in, I would say. No, but and others that we don't really, you know, we're reluctant to keep on performing or on doing, because we feel we're not really reaping that many benefits when doing them. Yeah, and moving back to Anahata chakra, you know, we mentioned at the beginning that, you know, the lack of balance there gives us low immunity, and this is because Anahata is governed by the thymus gland, which is responsible to produce T cells, and T cells protect the body from viruses and infections. So it's very interesting because this thymus gland is an endocrine gland that shrinks as we age. So it's in full shape and full form, in, you know, fully fledged when we are in our preteen and teenage years, but then it shrinks and it simply becomes like some sort of fat or some regular tissue. It's absorbed by the body as we get older. So it's located behind the sternum and somehow in between the lungs, they say. So that's what it reaches when it reaches its maximum development during puberty. But yeah, so that's also at the level of the where Anahata chakra is. So this is why we think of also we also think of immunity issues when we think of lacking energy in Anahata chakra. And you know, it's they say that in a more philosophical through a more philosophical lens, they say that the people who are governed by Anahata chakra, who have it very balanced or who have excess energy in it, they know their value, they know their worth, right? But they do not seek to put themselves in positions where they are better or whether they are superior. They do have leadership qualities, but they do not seek to lead. So that's how noble they are, it seems. So they emanate kindness. They're very accepting of everything, be it good or bad. And they are compassionate, and they have inner peace. Also, when we think of them physically, they have a big, healthy lung capacity. Probably not smokers. they are pure, they are gentle, just as they are compassionate and kind. And also they have this very particular ability that us yogis seek, which is the capacity to live with pure enjoyment, to be in a state of pure, in a state of enjoyment, in a state of joy. They have the capacity to feel joy without, you know, a specific object, without a specific purpose. So they feel it by default without it being provoked by a specific action or item or thing. So something very interesting, I think, if you ask me. So anahata, they say it's associated with air as an element, right? Because if we see, if we think of Muladhara as being the first chakra, it's steady, it's grounded, you know, the one at the base of the spine level. The second chakra, Svadhisthana, it's all about water, bringing fertile creativity. And Manipura, the third chakra, is the fire in the belly, right? And it's what's required to transform that grounded creativity, you know, into action. So then they say we see air as dispersing and integrating the spiritual understanding of love, of compassion, and, you know, connecting all of the dots, connecting everything we encounter. So it's interesting because if you think of air, it connects everything that surrounds us and it contains everything that surrounds us. And so does love. And anahata is love. So you see, everything is very, very much linked together, I would say, which is beautiful.
Yeah, I think also it's just we keep seeing that, seeing that we keep coming back to basic things, right? Basic elements: air, water, fire, energy. Maybe not basic emotions. Maybe fundamental is a better way to put it. Emotions, right? Energy. So they're all kind of, I think what I'm trying to say is like they're kind of common themes that we seem to find, and then they're kind of connected in different ways to yoga and to other things, right? Because you know, there's just like fundamental elements.
Yeah, each of the chakras represent one of the fundamental elements that we can find in nature and that surrounds us. Well, the universal elements, really. So if we think of a lack of energy in the heart center, in the anahata chakra, then we see these people that are very shy, right? They are timid. They lack self-love or self-worth, or they're very possessive or jealous in relationships. They have a judgmental attitude. They are disconnected from others and are unable to relate to people. Obviously, in a more concrete sense, they have respiratory issues. They have issues with their lungs. So they sometimes, it is said that they also sometimes have this incapacity to forgive themselves or others. This, because this also comes from a lack of love and compassion, right? Translated as lack of energy in anahata chakra. Also, they say people who lack energy in anahata chakra, they apart from being, you know, from demonstrating unkindness to others, they also have this inability to empathize with others, because empathy comes from being able to connect to the human beings around you, not necessarily show very specifically love, but empathy is about relatedness, I would say, and connection. So then that's what lack of energy in anahata chakra does to you. You're not able to be kind to others or to empathize with them. So yeah, just, you know, in a very high level manner, some of the things that we might find ourselves manifesting if we have a lack of energy in the heart center. At the same time, if our Anahata chakra is hyperactive, if we have too much energy in it, we are like a little sponge or a bigger sponge that absorbs people's emotions, right? We over-empathize with them. You know, the reverse happens, obviously. So we have too much empathy with others' emotions. And that sometimes means that we are people pleasers. And that's something, you know, I'm smiling because it used to be relatable with me and my way of being at some point back when I was younger, much younger, mind you. So basically, it's about sacrificing very personal needs, you know, to satisfy others, just from this desperate thirst to be accepted. And it's also, it might turn into codependency and of course the incapacity to establish boundaries. Because what? Because we want everybody to like us, right? So then we are not able to establish some boundaries and allow others, not allow others, and explain to others that they should be respecting them.
Yeah, but I think you have to give yourself some grace, right? Because that's like, that's in our DNA, right? We were part of tribes once upon a time. We had to be accepted, otherwise we would have been kicked out of the tribe and left to die, probably. Well, yeah, that was kind of, right, the risk. It was a big risk. So you had to be liked, let's say. So
yeah. Hence that tendency, right?
Yeah. Exactly. And I think, it just goes back to what we keep saying, which is balance. So you don't want to have too much. You don't want to, you don't want to have too little, I guess.
all the time, because if our Anahata chakra is balanced, then of course we are able to be affectionate, to love unconditionally, you know, in an optimal way, in a way that is healthy from all points of view. And we are compassionate and empathetic, and we have inner peace and joy and an appetite for life. So this is something to have in mind, I would say. You know, so we've covered the too much of it, the balance, and maybe at the chapter of too little energy in Anahata chakra, we can think of heart issues, lungs issues, blood circulation, maybe asthma and breathing difficulties, because Anahata is also connected with lungs, and overall immune system deficiencies. A very special kind of love. It is extremely rare that a mundane, banal, you know, urban city dweller in 2024 to have its energy or most of his being to be at the Anahata chakra level. This is something that's quite sacred and special, and it is because it governs your entire life. So I don't know, you probably have to be, if we think of the Christian religion, you probably have to be a really devout priest or a nun or whatever to be at Anahata chakra level. But your average Joe is, you know, we're not there. But we can still study and, maybe not aspire, but at least find out what that is all about, or identify some symptoms and intensify our yoga practices that are meant to boost energy in that energy center, such as asanas.
Yeah, and it's linking everything together, right? Because this is just one of the chakras, and yes, okay, I guess as we go further up, so to speak, throughout the body, maybe they become even more quote-unquote unachievable. I don't know, we'll see. But it is the idea. It is the idea, though, to make sure we at least aim to address them all, right, so to speak. And balance them all, and I keep saying balance, but like really having a good, I guess, just energy between them, right? If possible, it's something to, I guess, try and maintain, if not necessarily achieve levels of of further chakras. I don't know about that, but at least try and give, I guess, equal focus, so to speak, to all of them, right?
Because we seek balance in all of the chakras, and there are specific asanas. If we think of yoga asana, there are certain poses that balance all of our chakras. And actually, the one that I've mentioned is my favorite, is also something that makes the energy flow in our entire body, and that is the bridge pose, Urdhvadhanurasana. And the other one that comes to mind is Paschimottanasana, which is the intense forward bend, the one when you bend over your thighs and you grab your toes if you can reach them. That also allows, but it's extremely important that your hand touch a part of your legs, not necessarily your outer feet or big toes, but at least your ankles or the outer side of your shins. Because in this way, the energy circulates everywhere in your body and it purifies and balances all of the chakras, all of the energy centers. So yeah, Paschimottanasana, the intense forward bend, is super cool to be practiced. So yeah, keep doing it. If not,
okay, sorry. So... So it's a spoiler for the two poses that actually help with all the chakras, although we still have three more to go talk about.
Indeed. Hope you enjoyed.
All right. I think that was us, guys, today for this one. Thank you so much for tuning in. And we'll see you next time with a new episode. Bye, guys.